Praise God and welcome everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries right here in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you've joined us today. It's going to be a great show. Betty and her daughter Megan, who are regulars on our radio team, are going to join us from Indiana in a little while. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries here in Clearwater. We have a brand new location. We moved about 2 weeks ago, and we are so excited about what God has done to provide such a beautiful and large home for this ministry. We have been believing God for quite a while for the right place to open up, and it did. And we are all moved. Everything is in place. Everything is out of storage, and it is a miracle from Almighty God that it has all come together so quickly and so beautifully. He gets all the glory and the praise. We are so blessed. We had church there, of course, this morning, as we do every Sunday morning, and we start at 10:30. What a powerful day. Amazing. Just like last Sunday, just a wonderfully powerful, anointed service. God Almighty was just moving among us and healing and doing all kinds of things. You would have had to been there, and you really should find your way to Beacon of Hope soon. Visit us Sunday mornings at 10:30. Wednesday night Bible study is at 7 every Wednesday night. It is preceded by a prayer meeting every Wednesday around 6 to 6:15, a powerful time of getting into the Word of God, both in Bible study and in the prayer meeting. There's a prayer book that we've been using for years, ever since we started Beacon of Hope almost 12 years ago now. And it's one that I carried in my Christian bookstore when I had it in Indiana many years ago. It is called Prayers That Avail Much, is the name of the prayer book, written by a lady by the name of Jermaine Copeland. It is just scripture. It's just the Word of God put in a form where you can find a prayer if you're struggling with worry. You can find a prayer if you're feeling hopeless, depression, any of those things, all kinds of things. A prayer for growth in the ministry, prayer for finances, prosperity. All right there in that book. We encourage you to go to a Christian bookstore, and if they don't have one in stock, which they usually do, have them order it for you. Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland. It'll change your life. Speaking of praying, we pray the Word. We use that prayer book a lot. We pray the Word. That book is full of the Word. We encourage you to use our prayer line that we have set up at Beacon of Hope that we've had going probably, let's see, since 08. So that's about 7 years now, or no, this I guess it's 5 years. I got to subtract correctly here. About 5 years now. And just what a blessing this prayer line is. You can send any prayer request, and you can give this email address to friends and family. We have a lot of people that use this prayer line scattered in different places of the United States and outside of the United States. And the email address for that prayer line is, so grab a pen and I'll give it to you, prayers@bohmglobal.com. BOHM stands for, of course, Beacon of Hope Ministries. So we used to just have it all typed out, but it's hard for people to remember all that and how to spell it correctly sometimes. So write this down, prayers@bohmglobal.com. And feel free to use that email address and to give it to other people you know, friends, family, coworkers. We get requests, a lot of requests from people that we've never met. We don't know them. And that's the purpose of that line, that prayer line. So send your prayer requests, because there's a wonderful large prayer team scattered in different parts of the United States that pray for each one of those requests that come over the email. Carol and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, usually are the ones that pick up those requests on a daily basis. They pick them up usually multiple times during the day and write a prayer along with the request, send it out to the prayer team, and it is prayed for. And the answers to prayer through our BOHM Global prayer line is just, they're just amazing and wonderful. We encourage you to use the prayer line. I'm going to give you that address again in just a moment if you need to take time to get a pen. And the answers to prayer, oh my, the praise reports are just huge. So God is moving. If you want to be on our Beacon of Hope prayer team, you can be. Even if you don't come to church in our Clearwater location, you can be a part of the prayer team by simply sending an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. Say, put me on the prayer team. And that's all it takes. So again, the address for the prayer line is prayers@bohmglobal.com. It's going to be a great show. I cannot wait to hear what God is going to do today. We never know. We have some scriptures, you know, a theme picked out. I'm in a series right now called Free to Be. And we've been studying the book of Galatians and the book of Acts. And we're going to be in both of those books in just a moment. So if you are able to follow along and you're not driving down the road, grab your Bible. Let's go to the book of Galatians. And we're going to get into the word and see what God has to say to us today. We are in a brand new season, a new time of adventure at Beacon of Hope. That is why we have picked this first song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, The Great Adventure. Saddle up, friends. Here we go.
Saddle up your horses. Time around the circle.
All right. We got a trail to blaze, people. We really do. In the Spirit of God, God is doing a new thing in the land, and it is amazing. Oh, wow. Megan, are you on the line with me?
I'm here, Pastor.
Good to hear your voice. I tell you, God is doing a mighty new thing. I love that song. That's one of your favorite songs. It's an older song, but it's a great song, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It gets you fired up.
It does. I wrote down one of the lines in there. I've been a prisoner, but God's grace has set me free. Woo!
Amen.
Is your mom on the line, too?
She's trying to call in right now. I think she's doing it right now. We're going to separate so we don't get any feedback.
Right, exactly. Okay, that sounds good. Oh, Megan, we've been in this series on the book of Galatians, and it is just powerful, all about how God wants us to walk free, be free, not giving in to the condemnation and the attacks of the accuser of the brethren, the devil. We're learning how to really, really walk in the salvation, grace, and mercy that Jesus came to give us when he came to this earth. And what a blessing to know we don't have to give in to all that junk that the devil throws our way, you know?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to start today in the book of Galatians very briefly, and then we're going to kind of move around and we're going to get over to Acts. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul wrote this, of course, and we get down to about verse 4, Galatians 4, 4. And here's what it says. I'm reading from the NIV. But when the time had fully come, now, you know, God's all about the perfect timing, you know. Sometimes we get impatient and we want things to happen quicker than what God wants it to for whatever reason, because he sees the big picture, right? And I love that Paul says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. So we know that God sent Jesus. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so Paul's talking about that gift of Jesus here in Galatians 4, 4. He said the time finally came, the fullness of time. And Jesus was sent to this earth, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And the next verse, because you are sons of God, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out Abba, Father, which means Papa. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Prior to the coming of Jesus to this earth, people had a knowledge about God. They occasionally felt God come on them, like David did and some of the prophets of old. But they did not have a realization that God lived in them. Because when God sent his son Jesus to this earth, one of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus came to not just be with us, but to be in us. And what a life-changing event. And it's because of Jesus living in us that we are able to learn how to walk free as a child, as a son, as an heir. Megan, talk to me about that. Is your mom on the line too? Betty, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I am here.
All right. All right. Good to talk to you both. Indiana, treating you okay?
Yes, ma'am. We've got 70-degree weather with a little breeze and lovely sunny. And so we are living it up here in Indiana.
Well, it's a little better than 90-something here today. I'll tell you, it's pretty hot, but it's beautiful. Hot, but beautiful. But anyway, so glad you both could be on. And Betty, you're filling in for Nathan today. We had such a wild service this morning at Beacon of Hope. And Nathan played that piano like no tomorrow and for a long period of time. And I'll tell you what, God was really moved in that service today. But Nathan's resting for a little while this afternoon. So we're glad you could fill in for us. And Megan, you were supposed to be on the air. So this is cool. So, Megan, I go back to you because when God's perfect timing, God saw down through history, knew the exact time, the exact moment when he was going to send his son. And I believe, because it says in 2 Chronicles that the eyes of the Lord roam around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his. And I believe that he found Mary, this little virgin girl in Israel, and realized she would be the one. And actually, she was in the perfect line. And we could go on and on about that. But the point is, God saw the perfect time. He also saw the perfect vessel, Mary, to carry Jesus. And when Jesus came to this earth and everything that happened to him, dying on a cross, coming out of the tomb, a risen Lord, then that allowed us to learn that we are his children, his sons, his daughters, and we can actually be free from the things that drag us down and pull us back into our old habits. So, Megan, what a wonderful gift, right? Jesus, what a gift.
It's glorious. And, you know, the thing about it is Jesus came to this earth to free us from the walls of the world.
Right.
And to free us and make us heirs of the throne of the Lord,
of
the mighty kingdom of God. And that's one of the most amazing, you can't even put words to it to describe it,
right?
Of how amazing it is to realize, you know, here we have a body
right
here on the earth, but our spirit can live free and
yes,
free of condemnation
right
by letting the Lord into your heart.
Oh, amen. Amen. And our spirit lives forever, you know? And
amen.
So that's the importance of learning to walk free now. And because God wants to free us up in our emotions, in our mental issues that happen. God wants to free us up to live a life of freedom, a life of blessing. Betty, what a wonderful, wonderful thing that the fullness of time came and God sent his son. And now we are children of God. We are heirs. Isn't it great? Ugh.
Oh, I tell you, it's one of them. Woo!
Yeah.
thank God that I'm forgiven. And, you know,
we thank God that you're forgiven, too.
Oh,
so you're
yeah,
so ornery, you know.
Thank you. I know. You know, but I think God had a sense of humor because
right,
he created me.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But I think that there comes a point in time where we have a choice, Pastor.
Yeah.
That, you know, we serve God or we serve the devil.
Right.
And we live in sin. And that's what is so amazing about the cross, is that when Jesus died, he gave us that opportunity to say, I want you. And
right,
his hands were extended out. And that's another extension of his love for us and how much he cares for us. And how much that he wants us to be a part of his kingdom.
Amen. And he really does extend his hands out to us and say, come on, realize who you are. Because, Megan, I think a lot of times we don't realize we're sons. We don't realize, or daughters, we don't realize we're heirs to all the promises and the blessings. We are free to be full of the promises of God and to walk around like we have already inherited all those promises. Talk to me about that, Megan. Woo.
Well, you know, I think maybe the reason why people don't realize that is because there are people that are enslaved to the worldly inheritance that they're going to receive. You know,
good point.
You know, there's people that may grow up in a very blessed household, but you know, they get impatient because they're children and they have to grow up and be of a certain age
right
to receive the inheritance of their family. But the one thing about the inheritance of the heir of the throne of the Lord is there is no age limit on that.
Right.
You can receive that whenever you want.
Yeah, right.
And once you let the Lord into your heart and let him into your spirit, that inheritance is yours forever. It
Woo.
Can never be taken away as long as you walk righteously in his grace.
Oh, amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I love that verse we just read in Galatians 4 where it says, we are sons of God, and God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. So we are no longer slaves, but sons. And since we're sons, we're heirs. So, Betty, talk to me about this, because I think too many people do not have any clue that they have a spiritual inheritance, that they are heirs to the blessings, the promises, and all that. They're just walking around thinking that this salvation thing is only about fire insurance.
No, and it brings back something that I learned a long time ago, is that we don't have to be slaves to the law.
Right.
We don't have to be slaves to this world. That
right.
God has given us the spirit to reach out and accept him as their personal savior.
Right.
And one of the things is that his people perish because of lack of knowledge.
Amen. Hosea 4:6. Yes.
Amen. Amen, sister. And the thing that people have to realize is that once you receive Christ into your heart,
right,
he never leaves.
No,
he's always there. His love, I mean, he loves us so much that it says that his love endures forever.
Amen.
And forever means, Pastor, forever.
Right.
And it's just, it's amazing to me is that churches today, that they preach the fire insurance, but
right.
they don't preach the part about how much God loves them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
how much God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. Now, and that means me, that means you, that means Megan, that means Ben, Andrew,
right.
Joe, you know,
right.
everybody on down the line from Becky to Nan to Connie.
Right.
It extends far beyond the way that I can comprehend it.
It does. And so often we allow ourselves to be limited, I believe, in our spiritual walk because we just buy into the thing that salvation is just that initial experience when we ask Jesus into our heart. And then we know that we're going to heaven when we die. And it is so much more than that. Megan, talk to me about it. This inheritance is something we walk in now. Yes, part of it has that heavenly component someday, but there is so much right now that God's people need to walk in, don't you think?
I agree. And when I opened my Bible this morning on my iPad, there's a daily scripture that came up, and it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works, because it was Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, and it says, God saves you by his grace. When you believe, and you can't take credit for this, it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it.
Amen.
So, you know, it's given this gift from the Lord is it's something that should make us very proud.
Right.
But when with comes pride, you can't be boastful of that pride, because it should be a pride of, you know, the Lord has saved me. The Lord has brought me through all of these trials, and my trials have turned into testimony. It should be about talking about your Father and how great of a Father he is and what he can do for the rest of his sons and daughters.
You're exactly right. And it's interesting to me, Megan, I had written Ephesians 2:8-9 down in the margin of my Bible for this show, because I memorized it years ago in the New American Standard. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift from God,
right.
You know? And I think as an heir, generally speaking, it's not what the heir did to be worthy of the inheritance. If you know somebody that's ever, I really don't know anybody that's ever inherited much. But if you did, if you think about it, let's say it's a farmer and they leave several acres of ground to a child or a grandchild or whatever. Generally speaking, that child or grandchild didn't do anything really to deserve it. They just happened to have the right last name, right? And be mm-hmm. born, right? It's a gift. And that's what salvation is. It's a gift. We are heirs to that gift. Go ahead, whichever one of you is starting to talk. Megan?
I got. I'll say something.
Okay, you guys aren't in the same room, I take it, right? So you can't tell?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I can't give her a hand signal.
All right. Okay.
No, you know, you're exactly right, because you know, God is seeking out the heirs to his throne. That's like you said, God's eyes are all over the world, and
right.
they are.
Yeah.
He can see us wherever we are and whatever we're doing. So, you know, God is trying to seek out the pure of heart. And, you know, he'll grab you in whatever way he needs to. It's different for everybody.
Right.
But, you know, it's important for us that, you know, if we want the inheritance of a lifetime, we need to seek the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Ooh, amen. And there might be some listening today that aren't sure of their salvation. And if you are one of those that if you died tonight, you're not sure that you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, we are going to give you an opportunity later in the show to pray that sinner's prayer and accept Jesus into your heart. Because Romans 10:9-10 says, if we confess with our mouth and believe with our hearts that Jesus is the Son of God, that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we can be saved. Betty, do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when you made that initial decision?
Yes, ma'am. 1985 on the altar at a church in Anderson.
Really? Okay.
Yes, I almost could recollect the time, but I might be in error.
Okay.
It was probably in an evening service because that was when they had more the contemporary music like you have today.
Right.
And it was just more relaxed, and there was a play that a group had came in and had showed what would happen during the time that the Lord came back, and if you had not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that what might happen to you.
Well, okay.
That kind of rattled my chain a little bit, and it's like, and then the Holy Spirit came over me, and it's like, you know, Betty Lou, time.
Wow.
And it's like, in fact, I still get goosebumps when I think about it because it was probably the most peaceful, most, for lack of a better vocabulary word, a release
okay.
of the shackles and the chains,
woo.
The lies, the condemnation that I had been under for so long, thinking that, you know, I was not worthy to be a child of God.
Right.
But at that time, in that Kairos moment, I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me.
Woo, yes.
It just infiltrated me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and I just felt all tingly and just happy and just so jolly. But Pastor, it also freed me to know that, yes, I am a child of God.
Amen.
Now, and that that lasts forever. And
amen.
I can't say that I haven't been through some trials and some tribulations, but that just makes me depend on him more.
Oh, amen. And when we talk about our salvation experience like you just did, it's so simple that people stumble over it, don't they, Betty? I mean, it's like they want to make it more difficult. It's really a free gift. Like Megan just read Ephesians 2:8-9. It's a free mm-hmm. gift. You're saved by grace. It's a gift of God, right?
Yes, and God's, the old saying, God's not an Indian giver.
Right.
He doesn't give you something and then take it away from you.
Right.
When it comes to salvation, it is forever. And I had been a guest, or I had been invited to several other congregations over, you know, a period of my lifetime. And they preach the fire and brimstone, you know. Yeah, you know, just like you call it, fire insurance.
Right.
And it's like I wanted my salvation to be what I needed it to be. And it was exactly the way it is because it was different for Megan. It was different for you, and it was different for me. And the next cool thing about it is that his love encompassed me at that point in time. And he's never left me. Never. I've left him, but he's never left me.
Well, that is so cool because it really, a salvation experience should not be based in fear, okay? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But
right.
Power, love, and a sound mind. Whoa, we're getting some interference there. I don't know what's going on.
I think it's the ducks.
The ducks. Oh, all right. Are you sitting outside by the lake?
We have all the windows open, and I think it's the Canadian geese flying over here.
It's the Canadian geese. Well, we should have known in Indiana there would be some type of wildlife that would be around. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, people should not make a decision to become saved based on fear. And I believe a lot of times that's what happens in some services where people are told that what hell is going to be like and how, you know, they're going to hell in a handbasket or whatever the case may be. And I think a lot of people have been so, I don't know what the word is, desensitized or something, because all they've ever heard is that fear message, you know, and they don't realize that salvation is such a wonderful gift, where we become a child of God, where we are a son, a daughter, where we are inheriting all the blessings of Abraham. And I think a lot of people, we are free to be free. We are not free to worry about hell. You know, somebody comment on that while I get a drink.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that people need to understand is that there is a heaven and there is a hell.
Sure.
Once you give your life to the Lord,
right,
and you walk with Him and you talk with Him and you communicate with Him, that fear of hell goes away.
Right.
It scared me when I saw, you know, having to live eternity after life is to live in hell.
Right.
It's like, I ain't going there.
Right. Exactly.
There. But that fear of hell goes away, because when you walk and you communicate, you pray, you worship, you praise Him, all of that fear goes away.
It does.
Now, there's fear in other parts of our life that we deal with, but that communication and that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ is like no other.
Oh, amen. Megan, can you find Romans 8:15-17 and read that in whatever translation you're in? Doesn't matter.
Yes, hold on just a second here.
But it just really emphasizes this point about receiving God into our lives and realizing that He is our Papa God. You know, that is like in Spanish, so many people, when they call their parent or their dad, we tend to say daddy in the English, but in Spanish, people a lot of times call them papi, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Papi is just a, you know, papa is papa. In Spanish is a dad, and I used to call my dad when we lived in Central America and I was a kid, I would call him Papa Grande, which is not Papa Grande, it's Papa, which meant big potato, as a joke. So I would call him Big Potato, but, you know, Poppy, you know, and if any of you are a Boston Red Sox fan, there's Big Poppy, you know, that's the, oh gosh, what a hitter this guy is, David Ortiz. But Papa is, God calls Himself Papa, Poppy, Daddy. That's who He calls Himself. That is, read those two or three verses, Megan. Romans 8:15-17.
This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we are. We know who He is, and we know who we are. Father and children, and we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance.
Woo!
We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we certainly are going to go through the good times with Him.
Oh, my. What's next, Papa? Talk about that, Megan. I mean, that's the way we should be living. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir. I have an inheritance. I'm going to live in it. I'm going to walk in it. And I'm not going to be afraid of tomorrow. You know?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, my salvation story is different than Mom's. Is I gave my life when I was a child. And so, you know, I grew up with the Lord by my side. I mean, I think I gave my life to the Lord maybe when I was 6 years old. But, you know, going through high school, through condemnation and gossip from other girls, guys, it didn't matter who it was, I always knew that my Father, the Lord, you know, God, was always by my side.
Amen.
And, you know, there are bad times, but we always know that the bad times are going to be followed by good times.
Woo.
And that's the assured of as the heir of the throne is that, yes, you're going to have trials and tribulations in your life here on earth. But that's when we need to realize that we need to praise him during those periods of time, because that's where we learn to grow in our spirit and learn how to praise him on a deeper level and to just really dig down into our roots for what we deserve as Christians here on earth is, you know, that life of free of condemnation and torture and whatever people are going through. That's what people need to realize is, you know, we don't need to focus so much on, well, if you don't give your life to the Lord, you're going to hell. What we need to realize is that we're here on earth to fight the fight for the Lord and to bring all of our brothers and sisters with us to heaven. And we need to quit focusing on the negative. We need to live our life every day for our Lord and our Savior and praise him with no matter whatever is going on in our life, so that the next day that comes, that we have a testimony to share with the rest of the world.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Woo! Megan, powerful words. You know what, Megan, we're going to ask you to hang up and call back in a moment. You're garbled in and out sometimes.
Okay.
And try or else move around wherever you are to a little different location, but call back in. Betty, she's right on about this, isn't she? I mean, go ahead. Talk to me.
I remember we were attending a church in Anderson, and she came out, and I mean, she was, you could tell that the Spirit of God was on her at 6 years old.
Wow.
And it amazes me that that aura or that Spirit that lives within her still illuminates.
Isn't that great?
When she walks into a room. And I think that in times where, you know, we walk in a storm is when we need to praise God the most.
Right, absolutely.
And she just, you know, it just amazes me some of the things that even now that comes out of her mouth that are so uplifting and so amazing that God is just so pleased with her that she walks in victory.
Amen. Amen.
And we all walk in victory. Sometimes we don't feel like we do, but when you're a child of God and you receive that inheritance,
yeah,
you receive it immediately.
Amen.
Like what you've said before, that we don't have to wait till we're 21 to get it.
No.
We don't have to wait until mom and dad pass on to the, you know, to the next life. Is that he gave it, and he gives it abundantly.
Praise God.
And we don't have to be afraid.
Woo!
And we don't have, and you know, the other thing, Pastor, is that we don't have to clean up our life. Or at least we don't have to become clean to be able to come to God. Come to God just as you are.
Just as
I am. And he doesn't care what kind of clothes you wear.
Right.
He doesn't care how you wear your hair, what shoes you wear. If you want to come into his kingdom barefooted or with high heels on, he accepts you.
Amen.
Just the way you are.
Woo, praise God. Megan, what's your response to that? You're back on again, right?
I'm back. Can you hear
good.
Me okay?
Better. Much better.
Okay. Well, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are living in fear.
Right.
And a lot of people may be living in fear because they don't know where their life is going to be tomorrow.
Right.
And Pastor, you know, I've done that. I thought, well, you know, what's tomorrow going to be like? Because, you know, today was just really awful. But, you know, we really shouldn't be focusing on tomorrow.
Right.
Because we need to be focusing on today.
Amen.
And, you know, the Lord will meet us anywhere.
But what I've really learned is the Lord will really meet you when you fall to your knees.
Amen. Amen.
You know, if you can just get down on your knees and relinquish your self-control and the pride over your life, and let the Lord into your life and let him soak in and let him heal you, your life will totally, totally turn around, and you'll never have to worry about tomorrow again.
Yes, it drives out fear. That surrender to God and say, okay, God, my life is in your hands. And we need to do that song sometime. I have a song on one of my CDs that's just amazing. My life is in your hands. But Megan, this week you sent me this song that we're going to do next by Tim Timmons. It starts with me. Do you want to comment on that, Megan? Because it is surrender. In fact, we ended our service, this a mighty move of God service this morning at Beacon of Hope, singing a very old chorus, "Where he leads me, I will follow."
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this song, it really ministered to me because, you know, so many of us want to experience a revival. And, you know, a lot of us sometimes, and I can even talk about myself, we walk around and we kind of try to, you know, sometimes we get off the beaten path where we're not supposed to be. But that's when the Lord gets a hold of you again, and I was brought to my knees recently. Here I go.
Crying?
My life. Yeah, my life is going to make a change next year. My husband and I are going to have another child.
Right.
And
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I had you know, felt like I had taken control of my body because I was obsessed with fitness. And it's like, you know, this has happened, and it's like, Lord, you know, why is this happening now? So, you know, even myself, I question the Lord, but it's just I was brought to my knees, and I was told, Megan, it's my timing. It's not yours.
Right.
So take my hand, and I will lead you through this.
Amen.
To the other side, and I will guarantee that you will be filled with my grace, my joy, my love. And nothing is going to happen to you, and nothing is going to make you fall.
Amen. Amen. And Megan, your mom and dad are thrilled, and, you know, we're just excited that you guys are being blessed with a child. And, but you know what? It all starts with each of us individually taking what has happening in our lives and saying, all right, Lord, you must have a plan here. Listen to this song,
Amen.
And then we'll talk more in a moment.
What can I do to leave a legacy? How can I speak with authority when I can't see you? I can't see you. How can I know the dreams you have for me? How do I believe beyond what I have seen when I can't hear you? I can't feel you now. No, 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 no. You're my revival song. You start where I belong. On my knees, on my knees. When I'm weak, you're strong. You meet me here when I'm on my knees, on my knees. Oh, it starts with me. I try to work outside of you, knocking down doors I shouldn't be going through. Well, I'm so tired, I'm so tired. You take my burdens off of my shoulders. You break the lies that hold me back. When I
That's the second time I've heard that song, and I love it. You're my revival song. You meet me right here where I need to be, where I belong, on my knees. Betty talked to me about this, and we're going to get to Megan, who discovered this song. Ah, great song.
Well, I tell you, when she said, Mom, you got to listen to this song, and it's like a light came on.
Right.
And it's like, Lord, if we could get everyone down on their knees,
right,
praying.
Yes,
here comes revival, people.
Right, that's it.
I mean, hey, honey, it's that simple.
It's that simple. It's prayer.
It's that simple is prayer, and prayer changes things.
Ah, amen.
It's amazing to me. There's nothing that I can't do through prayer.
Amen.
It takes a lot of, I call it intestinal fortitude, to come to the realization that I have got to give up control.
Right.
Of what that song said, of trying to go through doors that the Lord doesn't want me going
That's
through.
That's right. Amen. Yes.
And it's like, okay, all right, I'll backtrack a little bit, and I'll go back the way that you want me to. And you know what, Pastor? It gets a lot easier.
Uh-huh.
And it's so much more peaceful.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much more in line with what he wanted for me. Because
yep.
If I had went through that one door, it would have been tragic. And I didn't want that to happen.
Right.
But where it happened, that directional change happened when I was on my knees.
On your knees. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Megan, talk to me about this. And then we're going to Acts chapter 8, everyone. Go ahead.
Well, the thing about that song that really caught my attention was I want to leave a legacy.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And the legacy that we should be leaving is the love of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
We should be loving one another as Jesus loves us.
Yes.
And,
praise God.
You know, people get so caught up in what they do on earth and what they're going to leave behind and how much money they're leaving for their children. But, you know, we just need to be who we are through Jesus and let Jesus shine through us so that, you know, when people meet us or when our family talks of us, they talk about, you know, she's so joyful and she's so happy and
Amen.
She just always was very giving of herself. And, you know, that's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit working through you and leaving a mark on everybody that you touch in your life.
Woo! Yeah.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And think of Acts chapter 7 and the whole life of Stephen, who started out as a deacon in the early church because they needed help with serving people for meals. But yet this guy was so full of God that he ends up becoming the first martyr of the church. And his story is in Acts 7, which is not what I want to talk about. I just want to talk about the fact that after he was allowed to talk about what God was doing in his life, and God will open those doors, people. And I love that song, Megan, because it says it starts with me. It starts with me. Getting on my knees is starting with me saying, all right, God, I'll walk through the open doors. And that's what happened with Stephen. Stephen suddenly had an opportunity. He was stoned to death in the process, but he had an opportunity to open his mouth and declare what Jesus came to this earth to do. And that was to save us all. And he was able to really give out the gospel in like one big sermon, and then that was it for Stephen. But isn't that interesting compared to what we're talking about here? You know, it just that this great adventure we're on, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But we've concluded when we're walking with the Lord, we cannot be worried and anxious and upset about tomorrow.
No, you live day by day.
Amen.
And that's where we kind of lose our focus at times, Pastor.
I think so, yeah.
That we kind of get three or four steps ahead of the Lord.
Right.
And then you look around and you say, well, where were you when I needed you? Well, Betty, back up a little bit. Take a look around you. You ask me to help you, and then you decide that you want to take you know, you want to go on your own way. And it's like, I have to say, okay, Lord, enough of me.
Right. Yes.
I need you.
Absolutely. That's it right here. That's, and Stephen personifies that. Stephen, instead of saying, you know, wait, God, I've got tables to wait on over here. I got this job to do and that job to do. I mean, he was boldly declaring the gospel message. When the door opened, the door of opportunity for Stephen, he walked through it. Megan, we've got to be sensitive to the doors that God is opening for us on a daily basis, don't you think?
Amen. You know, you got to take your blinders off and you got to be sensitive to the signs that he gives you. You know, it could be anything. Like I had, this is crazy, but I had a stray cat come to my house and, you know, she was starving. So, you know, I hear this one thing in my mind, oh, don't feed her because you don't want her hanging around here. And it's like, you know what, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I fed the cat. And it's like, you know, I know that sounds crazy.
So
but,
now you have a
you
new
know,
cat?
No, she actually evidently found her way back home because she's not around.
Well,
so I just
there
pray
you go.
That that's what happened. But, you know, it's just stuff like that. If you're given somebody, it's put in front of you. Like I heard on the radio the other day that the radio announcer looked outside of his window and saw a woman at a picnic table hunched over with her head in her hands. He went out and asked her if she was okay. And he ended up helping her give her life to the Lord.
Praise
so,
God.
You know, if we walk around and ignore all these
amen.
Doorways,
amen.
What blessings are we missing out on, Pastor? I mean,
absolutely.
I can't even imagine.
Absolutely. And that's what the story in Acts 8 is about, which we're going to get to in a minute. Betty, comment on that here, because I agree with Megan entirely. We've got to walk through those open doors and we got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God within us and sensitive to people around us who need to hear something from God.
I think that people need to see the Lord in us.
Amen.
And the only way that they're going to see the Lord in us is by the way we talk, by the way we act. And if you're walking and talking, people are going to notice. It's like we get so busy and so caught up in our everyday life. It's just, as an example, me trying to get a home ready to be put on the market. And I've had two or three people that I could have ministered to, but I didn't, because I didn't take the time.
Right.
To see
good point.
Someone else's need.
Right.
Because I put my own need ahead of someone else's.
Right. And we do it all the time. And that's our self-centered, sinful nature coming out, right?
Yes, yes. And we have got to be, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, I know, is tugging at my heart right and left saying, here's your chance.
Right.
Here's your chance. Here's your chance. I blew it.
Oh, we're going to talk about Philip's chance here in just a few minutes. Good point, Betty. If you have just joined the show, we have another hour to go. And you have plenty of time to call a friend, a relative, a coworker, and say, hey, why don't you check this out with me? And if you are listening in the Tampa Bay area on one of the radio stations that we're on, there are several, you can also flip over to the internet where we are live streamed at www.tantalk1340.com. If you know a friend, a relative in another state, they can just go to that internet connection, which is tantalk1340.com. Actually, it's got video capability, and you'll see me waving at you right now here in the studio. So we welcome you to join us, and join us every Sunday afternoon. We're on 3 to 5 Tampa time every single Sunday. Our website is full of shows that we've done. Betty, that's kind of cool, isn't it, that you can go to beaconofhopeministries.com and catch a bunch of the radio shows there?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's really neat because they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's right.
365 days a year.
There you go.
And it helps, you know what, the Word of God, if you're having, you can't go to sleep, or you go to sleep, then you wake up.
Right.
Just click on one of those radio shows, and I tell you what, the Word of God can put you at peace to the point where you can fall back to sleep.
Amen.
It's awesome to have that many shows that go back quite a ways that minister to people, no matter where they are or what they're doing.
Exactly. In fact, I think we have our very first show, which was in April of 2007 with Nathan and Connie and I right here in the studio that we recorded actually the day before. And then we decided from that point on to not record them and to do them live. But I tell you, there's a lot of good word there and great music. I mean, Connie's our music director for the show, and she does such a great job of picking the songs. And we get a little input, too, once in a while, don't we, Betty and Megan? Mm-hmm. And we throw a song at her, like the one we just played. But, you know, it's just a joy to be able to share the word with you every week. And that's what we're all about. Beacon of Hope Ministries, where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that's been our slogan since we began almost 12 years ago right now. 2 weeks from today, I cannot believe it, but time flies when you're having fun. 2 weeks from today is our 12th anniversary. Just a minute. Boing, boing, boing.
Boing, boing.
I should do that 12 times. But anyway, 12 years since it was a Sunday on September 29th of 2001 that 24 other people and I started this ministry in my living room in Tampa, in Carrollwood, and 12 years ago, and we will celebrate that day 2 weeks from today with a very special service. Kane and Ban will be there, and some of our people that started the church with me. It'll be a great day, special guests. We invite you to that service, and we invite you to every service, by the way. You're all welcome. Sundays at 10:30 in our new location, which is 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North. Really, it's at the corner of Drew and 19. Easy to find. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and Maxine, our webmaster, has given you detailed directions from every direction, north, south, east, and west. It's very easy to find at the corner of Drew and 19, a wonderful, huge new facility that we moved into 2 weeks ago. We welcome you to our services, and we'll talk more about the anniversary in a little while. It's station ID time.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Wow. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are in Clearwater, Florida. If you're in another state, you're planning a trip to Florida, come and visit us for service. Sunday mornings at 10:30 and Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock Bible study. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, for exact directions. Easy to find, corner of 19 and Drew. Great new location. So, Betty and Megan, my good friends, Betty, you and Megan, and sometimes your husband Joe also, were part of my church that I pastored. It started and pastored for 7 years in Newcastle, Indiana, back in the mid to late 80s and into the early 90s, and a long time ago, but that's where we became such powerful, close friends, right?
Yep.
A long time ago, Cornerstone Christian Ministries, and boy, and you know, we had a radio show. We had one on the Anderson station and one on the Muncie station every Sunday morning, and I actually would go to the radio stations on a Thursday before the Sunday and record them. Cedric on the big reel-to-reel tape recorders, clear back then, and I'd record my show. I mean, golly, are things different now, Cedric? Or did you even know about a reel-to-reel tape recorder?
Oh, sure. Yeah, oh. I know about those.
Okay.
You have any of them left?
I do have some, yeah.
Well, maybe sometime you bring them in I'll run them off to a CD or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have some. So, but you know, that was a long time ago, but that's when my first introduction to radio. And it was I had a heart after God for it. And actually, those were 30-minute shows. They were short. They were brief, you know. And so it's so wonderful to have 2 hours. I mean, this is just like, wow, to have all this time just to chat. It's great. Okay, we are free. We're free to have a good conversation. We're free to have a discussion about how much we love the Lord. And we're going to start this second hour with a song by Mandisa. And it's called, Believe It or Not, Free.
That's a voice I hear inside, but it's hard for me to see. Tomorrow's but a dream, 'cause today's reality is right in front of me. They say I'll never make it. They say you can never change it. What you are is what you will always be. They say that I should give up. Once you're down, you'll never get up. But that's not the truth for me. No, the sunset's free. This mountain step aside, or to climb it on my own. What you did was more than help. Did what I couldn't do myself. You said that I was not alone. When I thought I'd never make it, you came along and then you changed it. Made a way somehow and brought me through.
You brought me through.
As I was just about to give up, you took my hand, so baby, get up. Now here I stand because of you.
Words on that song that I have never heard before. Mandisa is quite a talent, and that is an amazing song. Wow. And I tell you, that beat, that's crazy good, isn't it? Megan, that's your age group, so talk about that song to me, because, I mean, those words were powerful. They really were.
They are, and it does have a good beat. I've found
Cedric was loving it in here.
I was doing a little dance myself.
Were you? All right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool because you're free to be you, which
right.
means your individuality, whatever that may be, you know, and don't worry about what other people think about you. Embrace your individuality and be proud of how different you are than, you know, say your neighbor or your best friend, because God made you that way for a reason.
Absolutely.
So, you know, living free is also that, is enjoying and embracing who you truly are.
Amen.
And then learning what your path is supposed to be when you give your life to the Lord and start walking through those open doors.
Woo, girl. Yeah. Mama Betty. Talk to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a little bit older than my daughter.
Yeah, just
and,
slight
just a little
bit.
A little younger than you are.
Now. Go
hey,
ahead.
Mama was kind of up here, kind of doing a little jig and doing a little dance.
All right.
Hey, it doesn't matter how old you are.
Right.
If you feel the Holy Spirit move, get out of that boat. Get out of those, let those shackles fall off, because you're free to be free.
Amen.
And free .. free to be ..
Right.
Don't let the enemy or Satan tell you that you can't do that, because
oh, that might be something that the deacons and the pastor just don't agree with.
Right.
Well, let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit moves, don't squelch the Holy Spirit, because he wants to move and he wants to make people free.
Woo! It's like what was happening at Beacon of Hope today, and I know you guys weren't there. I can't believe you missed the service. Of course, you live in Indiana, but I tell you what, people were coming up for ministry, for healing and different things, and the power of God was so strong they couldn't stand up. And by the end of the service, I mean, there were so many that had fallen down under the power of Almighty God, because he was doing a work. And you know, it's times like that when we see him working in our lives, doing unusual things. You know, it's unusual to mm-hmm. be having somebody pray over you and then you just can't stand up and your knees buckle and you're gone. You're down on the floor. And I know some people make fun of that. They've seen televangelists where that, but it's the truth. It happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. Happened to me. So believe me. Now we go to Acts 8 and we see Stephen has just been murdered. He's been martyred. Saul, who became Paul, is now persecuting the Christians. He's going everywhere and he's dragging them out of their houses and he's beating them up and he's killing some and putting some in jail. As a result of that, the early church was scattered. And it's interesting how so often what seems to be such a horribly awful thing, God turns it around and uses it for our good. And that is Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you have the early church, the early evangelists. You have the disciples that walked with Jesus. And so many of them were scattered. And it says in the first part of Acts 8 that they were forced. I mean, about verse 3 of Acts 8. They were forced to leave home base. And the followers of Jesus all became missionaries. Wherever they were scattered, they preached the message about Jesus. Going down to a Samaritan city, we see Philip proclaim the message of the Messiah. And when the people heard what he had to say and saw the miracles, the clear signs of God's action, they hung on his every word. Many who could neither stand nor walk were healed that day. The evil spirits protested loudly as they were sent on their way. And what joy in the city. This is a verbal description of a revival that happened in Samaria. Would not have happened if the church had not been persecuted and the early Christians had to just get out of town. And everywhere they went, though, they couldn't stop talking about Jesus that died on the cross for our sins and rose again, a risen Lord. Betty, talk to me about this. That's the kind of zeal we have to have no matter what happens in our life. And maybe our lives take a different turn than what we expected. We got to continue to talk about Jesus.
That's where revitalization comes into play.
Amen.
In our lives, is that we live in such a mundane, humdrum bubble, so to speak, that we can't seem to get out of it. It's just that, you know, we get up in the morning, we do the same thing every day, you know, brush our teeth, take a shower, go to work, come home, do whatever we need to do, and then go to bed. When do we have time to tell anybody about the Lord? Well, in the world today, we as Christians are facing persecution.
Sure we are.
If you see it, I mean, it's starting here in the United States. It's beginning to grow more and more. But if you get into the brown people down in Puerto Rico and where you came from in South America, and it's worse there, but it's coming to the United States, and that's where we have to say enough is enough.
Right.
We don't have to be radical in what we do. It's just the Lord is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit
sure
will
is.
Move like
yes.
he did in your service today.
Right.
because you wanted him. You wanted
Amen.
The Holy Spirit there. You wanted him to move in people. Because when people start seeing, here I go, when people start seeing these miracles, when people like Nathan, God love his little heart, when you see Nathan out, when you see Connie out, people that have said, God, I need you.
Right.
And I need you now. And when you say that, it's just you open up your spirit to be healed.
Amen.
You open up a new dimension in Christ.
Yes.
Is that you take that next step. You've taken that step.
You're right.
Fear has left you.
Right.
You're not afraid of the Holy Spirit because, oh well, what's he going to do to me? What will happen? What will my neighbor next to me think if I do this? If I step out in faith, be healed.
That in fact,
pick up your mat and walk
exactly. Go ahead.
That's what Pastor is happening. I mean,
yes.
We talked a little bit this week about some of the miraculous things that have happened just in our lives in the last week. The praise reports that we have on the prayer through the prayer chain.
Right.
But God is
moving. Yes,
and
he is.
He wants to move in every listener's life
right
now.
He doesn't he doesn't want us to just stay the same we've always been.
No. In fact, I can if the Lord were to appear to us right now, like he was in your church today, like the Holy Spirit was, you can't stand.
Oh, you can't stand there, up. It's too powerful.
Because it's the power. It's the imminent creator that is standing in front of you. And, you know, would I raise my hands? Would I praise him? What would I do if he actually appeared like he did in your church service? And, Pastor, I feel like that the Lord wants to move in every church. And we talked about this last week. He wants to move in every church. Invite him in. If you're
Amen.
A pastor, invite him in.
Amen.
Let him come in. Let him feel welcome, just like you do your parishioners, just like you do at your church. Welcome. You have greeters that are exuberant, that overflow with joy when people walk in the Beacon of Hope. That's what makes you different than most churches in your community and, of course, in our community, is that when you walk into a church, you sit down in a chair or a pew, and no one says a word to you.
Right. It shouldn't be that way.
No, your church is different because you reach out the hand of God to people and say, welcome, God loves you.
Amen. And we should be so excited to speak into somebody's life. That's why I love this story of Philip going down, leaving the revival that was going on in Samaria. Megan, comment on this before we get to this next song, and then we're going to get into this trip that Philip took in a little while. Go ahead.
Well, you know, he had to walk through an open door. He had
there
to make
you
a
go.
Choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, he could have stayed and been involved in the revival, or he chose to listen to the Holy Spirit and walk through that open door.
Amen.
And make a change in his life and to do it for the Lord.
Amen.
It wasn't for him. It was all for the glory of the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. And that's what it's got to be. God looks at our hearts. You know, he's all the time looking to see if our hearts are completely his. That verse I quoted earlier, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord roam the earth looking for those whose hearts are completely his. And when we make decisions and we say, yes, Lord, use me. I surrender all. Where you lead, I will follow. I will go where you want me to go, dear Lord. When we make those statements, sing those songs and mean what we're saying and mean what we're singing, God takes note and he goes, really? You'll go where I want you to go? This is what happened with Philip. Philip was in the middle of a revival and everybody, he was laying hands on people and they were getting healed right and left. Okay. And all of a sudden God said, here, I got something for you to do today, Philip. Here's what I want you to do. And we are going to talk about that, what God wanted him to do, in just a moment. But the point you just made, Megan, is that it takes surrender on our part, us saying, yes, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. But so often, Betty, we are stuck in a rut of complacency. We are, I just remembered something the Lord spoke through me today that I told people, write this down. God wants to take us out of the ordinary so that we can do the extraordinary. And in order to do that, to get out of that ordinary, it takes determination on our part. Yeah, Lord, whatever exciting thing you have for me today, that's what I want to do. Which takes us back to Romans 8 and Galatians 4, where we started this show. And you can hear this show again tomorrow on our website indefinitely. But the scripture in Romans 8:15 is the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of us. And so our heart says, what's new for today, Papa? What's going on today, Big Poppy? Where are we going? What are we doing? You know, where are you taking me today? That's got to be the attitude of our hearts. Megan, talk to me about that before we get to this new song.
Amen. And you know, we can't be a fence walker. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have a heart full of the Lord, but yet our mind is divided. We still try to listen to that, you know, the side of, well, you know, I still want to control this and I still want to control that. No, we have to be pure of heart.
Amen.
We have to be slow to anger. We have to love with the love of the Lord. We can't be one way one day and one the other. It's, you got to be head on and ready to charge.
Woo.
Just like the song said when we opened up, you got to saddle up your horse and be ready to ride, because I'm going to tell you what, every day is a different adventure.
Betty, you want to comment on that before we get to this Matt Redman song?
Well, I think the word before the song is consistency.
Oh, good. Very good.
You have to be consistent in our walk with the Lord.
You know, sometimes people look at us and what they see is the consistent part of us is our inconsistency, that Amen. We are so consistently inconsistent. If anybody just caught all that, that's
no, I that's exactly what I was thinking. And that it's not easy.
No, it's not.
But you know what? It's a lot easier when you walk with Poppy.
Woo. Your Grace Finds Me by Matt Redman.
It's there in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountain top, there in the everyday and the mundane, there in the sorrow and the dancing, your great grace. Such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me.
rich and poor. The same for the saint and for the sinner. Enough for this whole wide world. Your great grace, oh such grace.
Wow, good song. Your grace finds me, and doesn't it? It certainly does. And it did find this guy, this Ethiopian, on a road down near Gaza. We are in Acts chapter 8, and later God's angel spoke to Philip. We're talking about Philip. At noon today, he said, I want you to walk out over to this desolate road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. Now, very interesting, because the Holy Spirit sent Philip on this mission. Philip had no clue where he was going. This was about 100 miles away from the revival in Samaria, where everything was going great. Yet Philip obeyed God and went. Now, he got up and went, it says in the Message Bible, about verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. And as he's walking along on that road, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. This is a black man coming along the road in a chariot. And this person was a very high-ranking person in the with the Ethiopians. He was actually the treasurer for Queen Candace. And he was riding in a chariot, and he just so happened to be reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, interestingly that he was doing this, because he had been on a kind of a spiritual journey down to Jerusalem, and he had a knowledge of God. He knew God and would pray and go to Jerusalem and pray. But he's riding along, and he's reading this. And the Spirit of God tells Philip, climb into the chariot. Now, you got a picture. Here's Philip running along on that dirty, dusty road beside this chariot. And he hears this guy reading out loud, reading Isaiah. Now, he's not just reading any particular portion that might be uninteresting. He's reading from Isaiah 53, which is a prophecy about Jesus. And what Philip says is so cool, because here's where a life lesson for all of us. God will give you the right sentence, the right question, whatever, when you encounter a situation that you're about to minister into. And this is what happened with Philip. God had Philip say, as he's running along this chariot, hey, do you understand what you're reading? I love that. And the guy answered, the Ethiopian said, how can I without some help? Oh, my. And he invited Philip into the chariot with him. And the passage he was reading is from Isaiah 53, that he was as a sheep led to slaughter and quiet as a lamb being sheared. He was silent, saying nothing. Prophecy about Jesus coming to this earth and his death. Amazing. Betty talked to me about this. Don't you love this story? How he's just, Philip's going about doing his own thing in the revival, and God says, wait a minute, I want you to take a trip. I want you to go somewhere for me.
Yeah, when the Lord tells you to go, go, because you're going to find some unique things along that pathway that God is going to give
That's
you
right.
an opportunity to minister.
Yes.
And just like he did Philip, that who would have thought that he would pass someone with a horse
right.
and a chariot
right.
reading Isaiah.
Right.
And the cool part about that is that Philip had a discernment, and he knew through the Holy Spirit that he needed, this was an opportunity.
Yes.
A door was open for him to be
right.
able to explain what that passage meant.
Ooh.
And that's where we all kind of miss the boat of our opportunities to minister to people. And
well, a lot of times we're not even looking for them, are we?
No, not really. We just don't have the discernment to our discerner. I call our my discerner light's not on, because I've missed so many opportunities. And then I kick myself later. It's like, man, in hindsight, if I would have, I could have talked to that person about Jesus.
Right.
But then don't get down on yourself, because there could be another opportunity down the road.
Absolutely.
Where you'll see that chance.
Absolutely.
And maybe have to talk to, and maybe have the opportunity to talk to someone.
Sometimes we learn from our mistake and we are more ready. You know, Megan talked to us about this. And other times then we might be more ready the next time to say something at the appropriate time. Go ahead, Meg.
Right. Well, you know, a couple of shows ago, Mom mentioned the word or the letters GPS, and she's called it God's Positioning Service.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And so, you know,
I got to write that down. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You write that down. Write that down.
What he did with Philip was, you know, he took him out of the revival and sent him down a path.
Right.
And Philip, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip, to that other gentleman, that, hey, do you understand what you're reading?
Right.
And, you know, that had to take some boldness and some courage.
Yes.
To Philip to do that, because, you know, in today's world, in today's society, I mean, would you really do that to somebody? I mean, that takes a lot of boldness and a lot of courage to do that. And it's like, how many times do we catch ourselves, you know, here we have this destination that we're going to, but how many times do we catch ourselves? We've got all these directions. We've got MapQuest printed out, yada, yada. We've got our GPS system, but yet we totally miss the sign. It is right in front of our face, and we miss our turn.
Exactly.
How many times do we do that?
Right.
I mean, I know that's probably a weird, you know, way to put it, but there's all these signs passing your face, and you just choose to ignore them. But it's like, you know, if you quit ignoring them and you would step out in courage and you'd step out and be bold, you could minister to people. You could share God's love with someone. It could be anything. You know, maybe just somebody needed somebody to listen to something that's happened to them, and that leads into to ministering to them, and they give their life to the Lord. I mean, we've got to quit, you know, focusing so much on handwritten directions in our lives. We need to be focused on the Lord trying to get our attention and leading us into situations where we're supposed to be, you know, ministering to people or sharing His love. It doesn't matter. We need to open up our eyes.
Oh, I love what you're saying, and you're exactly right. If you look down in verse 34 of Acts 8, the eunuch said, tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or some other? If you listen, people will usually open a conversation and ask you something that will give you the springboard, if you will, to be able to talk about Jesus. Go ahead, Betty, because, I mean, that's what happened here. And Megan's right. So often it's just a matter of us walking through that open door.
Well, yeah, and then Philip grabbed the chance.
It says that in the Message Bible, doesn't it? I love that. Philip grabbed the chance.
Grabbed it.
Are you sure it says that, or does it say Philip ignored that opportunity?
No, I think it's grabbed. I think he knew that he had an opportunity, and, you know, the door couldn't have gotten any wider open.
Right.
That's probably very bad grammar, but
right.
The door was so wide open,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, here's a chance.
Right.
Here is a chance to minister. And that's where people in today's world, fear would have driven them to
away.
Ignore that eunuch.
Exactly.
They would have pushed it away and said, I am not talking to him. I don't know him.
Right.
What would he do to me?
Or what would he think if I say something to him,
exactly.
Right?
What if I said something? But, you know, just in sparking a conversation, standing in the line at Publix or the line at Walmart, that who knows what the Lord is leading you
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
And that Kairos moment gives you an opportunity to the person behind you, is that, you have no idea what they've been through. You have no idea what they're going through. But even a kind, just words can lift us up and words can tear us down. But if you say one pleasant word like, hi, how you doing? Just a smile could make them feel just a little bit better. But that still opens or lets you grab that chance to be able to minister to people.
Oh, absolutely. There are times in public situations like you're talking about, where somebody will be so frustrated or upset and they'll say, oh, God help me or something, you know, whatever. And you can piggyback on something like that even, you know. Yes, God wants to help you. Are you okay? Do you need prayer? I mean, I think that this is something Nan has learned, and I love this from her, that she takes those opportunities to say, can I pray for you? Do you want me to pray for you right now? Or maybe, or maybe I'll just remember you in prayer. It's amazing how many people will say, well, you can pray for me now, you know, which, and then you go through that open door. Megan, talk to me about that, because don't you think that people want others to care about them? Even though our society seems to be so indifferent to each other a lot of times, we really do want somebody to say, hey, I'm going to remember you in prayer when I leave this situation. Or would you like for me to pray for you right now? Because it's amazing. I mean, that's not something that people ask you every day, right?
Well, no, it's not. And it may be because they're ashamed to ask for help, because maybe right. they think that the situation that they're going through is too petty to ask for prayer.
Right.
And that's ridiculous. There is no situation that's ever too petty, and nothing is ever petty to pray for. It doesn't matter what the situation is, because, you know, the thing is with people anymore is we're so afraid of each other.
Right.
We're so afraid of being judged. And, you know, we as Christians are free of condemnation. So, you know, even if you reach out to somebody and say, you know, can I pray for you? Or is there something that you have or that's disturbing you, that do you need someone to pray with you, or I can put you on a prayer chain? And, you know, they might be derogatory or negative. You know what? They're going to remember what you did.
Exactly.
And they're at some point going to come to another situation where somebody else is going to do the same thing, because, Pastor, you know, the more people persecute people, the more the Lord will spread his seed unto his children.
Amen.
So we shouldn't let that stop us. We shouldn't be afraid of each other, because the Lord wants to love everybody, because he created us all.
Amen.
And he wants us to be his children, and we need to realize that and stop living in fear.
Oh, absolutely. And there, Betty, I don't know if you remember the name Ann Kimmel. You remember her from...
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, this was a lady who would brazenly, as she sat on an airplane, be reading her Bible, which I love to do that too. It freaks people out. But anyway, mm-hmm. she would be doing that, and somebody would say, well, what are you reading there, you know? And or you know, just something about her or something would happen and somebody would ask her, and then she would just very sweetly sing them a little song. That was her ministry. She would sing them a little song. And usually it was something like, Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. You know, something like that. I mean, it was so simple, but yet she won people to the Lord. I don't know if she's still around. I haven't heard about her for years, but just in her simple little, God loves you. God loves you. You know what? God really, really loves you. And that's what it's all about. That's what was going on here with Philip and this Ethiopian. You know, Philip is saying, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, you've been seeking God, but let me tell you about Jesus. He sent his son to this earth. Talk to me, one of you.
Well, when you talk about in today's world, is I think a lot of born again Christians who have this ministry to minister to people have gotten rid of fear and have much courage.
Right.
They've thrown away the spirit of timidity.
Amen.
And those that are afraid of rejection, if you want to minister to someone of, oh, leave me alone.
Right.
No matter what you said, you planted a seed.
Right.
And it's amazing to me that people are given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to give out the, you know, give out a simple, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? Like Nanners does, is that it takes courage to do that.
It does.
It takes a lot of getting rid of that spirit of fear.
Right.
And operating in the gifts of the spirit, because Pastor, we miss so many opportunities.
Oh, we do. We
do. And God's just like, oh, God, the way I prayed in the last few weeks is, and it's taken out of a Christian song, is, God, break my heart for what breaks yours.
Yes, yes.
And I have cried more probably in the last several weeks than I have in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I see why God is so sad, because his people down here are ignoring the pull of his gentle and sweet spirit.
Amen.
And
amen.
We've got to quit judging people.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to get rid of the bitterness. We've got to quit talking about people.
Right.
And start operating in the gifts that God has given us. And
amen.
It would turn things around immensely. And it starts on our knees.
It does. You know, a week ago Thursday, I drove up to Gainesville to have dinner with my son Mark and his wife Candy, the newlyweds, and Candy's mother, Regina. And she is a powerful woman of God, as are my son and his wife, Candy. And we were at dinner at this great little Mexican place, and Chewy's. And our waiter was very friendly, very sweet, and older guy, I guess. And I don't even know how this started, but he kept coming back to our table, and he finally said, "You're my favorite table tonight." We were kind of teasing each other and having a good time. Within a few minutes, and I cannot remember the opening statement, pretty soon he's telling us how mad he is at God, how all this awful stuff has happened to him, and he just pours all this out, and he's just angry. He's an angry man, and we all kind of got our little comments in. But the main thing I noticed as we were sitting there was that we weren't overbearing. We were just saying, no, God does love you. Yeah, he does. You may not feel like it right now, but he does have a plan for you. He does have a plan. I don't see that. I don't see it. I used to feel that way, blah, blah. And we walked out of there after maybe a 20-minute discussion with this guy, because it was towards the end of his shift. It was probably 9:30, 10 o'clock by then. And we all just said, we just need to pray for this guy, that he just needs a reality check from Almighty God, that God does love him and care for him. And it was interesting, because I just felt like, whoa, okay, we were there for a reason, not just to have great Mexican food, but to plant some seeds. And that's what God's telling us about. So let's do this song, and then we'll talk on the other side of it. I believe the line you just mentioned is from Jesus, Friend of Sinners, is it? The line?
Yes. Break my heart for what breaks yours.
It is. It's from this song right here, coming up by Casting Crowns. Jesus, Friend of Sinners.
Jesus, Friend of Sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, Friend of Sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let Friend of
sinners. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. What we're for, only what we're against. When we judge the wounded, what if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Oh Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Let's reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast. Oh, for the leper and the lame. There's a reason that you came.
Be somebody out there today who is listening to this show live or who will listen to it later on our website who is not sure of your salvation and your place in Jesus. Megan, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer and pray with Megan. She's going to repeat what I pray here. And if that is you, if you are not sure right now that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, pray this prayer with us and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the precious name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
And that he came out of the tomb a risen Lord.
And that he came out of the tomb, a risen Lord.
I believe that Jesus Christ lives today.
I believe that Jesus Christ lives today.
I ask you now, Lord.
I ask you now, Lord.
To come into my heart and forgive me now.
To come into my heart and forgive me now.
Of anything and everything I've ever said or done.
Of anything I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
Forgive me from all my sins.
Forgive me from all my sins.
I accept you now as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you now as my Lord and Savior.
I am your child.
I am your child.
And you're my daddy God.
And you're my daddy God.
And I love you with all my heart.
And I love you with all my heart.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Betty, talk to us. Praise God. That song just gets to me every time I hear it.
Oh, I tell you, I was trying to pull myself together because that song just hits me deep down.
Yes.
In my spirit, because we're so used to condemning people. When we can't take the log out of our own eyes, how can we take it out of someone else?
Right.
And if we are without sin, let us cast the first stone.
Sure.
And it's, you know, drop the stones. We have got to, as Christians, we have got to come together and love the way that Jesus did.
Amen.
And I want to be able to love like Jesus does, but sometimes people just don't treat us fairly.
Sure.
Just a couple people are coming to mind right now. And we have to learn to set aside our judging and our judgmental attitudes, that when we're brought into correction, that we accept that correction and we repent, and that we ask God to forgive us for our attitudes, or the way that we have talked to someone or about someone.
Absolutely.
That we throw away condemnation, that we are no longer under the law, but we are under the line of grace. And it all boils down to, Pastor, of being obedient.
It does.
Being consistent in our walk and our talk with Christ, in our actions. The way that people perceive us as Christians, if they see us out frolicking and doing things that we shouldn't be doing, that's not a good witness to people. And it just brings to mind that help us to love people, Jesus, like you did.
Amen.
And again, it's not easy, but we have to ask for the Lord to help us love that person who is hurting us or is condemning us, and we need to pray for them.
Amen. Amen. And that's something we have to live on a daily basis and make sure, you know, that we pray that prayer, create in me a clean heart, oh my God. And, you know, just, you know, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my rock and my impenetrable redeemer. We've got to come to that point of staying in the position to be able to hear clearly from God, to not cloud it all up with our judgments, our attitudes, our lies, our inconsistencies, but instead be so focused on Almighty God that we can hear clearly his voice. Woo. Talk to me, Megan. Talk. Woo. Wow.
So, well, you know, a couple of days ago, I came across this little story about a little boy that was angry, and his dad's way of correcting him was, son, every time you get angry, I'm going to make you nail into our fence. And so it went on, you know, he had so many nails put in the fence that he got tired of doing it, so he stopped getting angry. So the dad said, okay, now every day you go by, I want you to pull out those nails for every day that you're not angry.
Whoa.
That ended up happening. All the nails came out of the fence. But the dad took the son to the wall and said, son, do you see the holes that are left behind? And those holes, son, are all of the times that you said something in anger that it still left a mark on someone.
Wow.
So, you know, people, Christians, whether you're not Christian, no matter what you are, when you say something or you condemn someone, whether you do it in front of them or behind their face, you're leaving a mark on those people.
Wow.
And it's evil. It's not the way that Jesus wants you to treat other people. So,
amen.
The other last Wednesday when we had our prayer session, I was praying and all of a sudden the Lord did just come out of my mouth that I prayed that there will be a new boldness within the churches.
Right.
That if there is a persecutor among the church body, that they are to be called out, because it needs to not be tolerated anymore, because we as Christians, as brothers and sisters, as family, we are not to condemn each other.
Right.
We are Amen. To uplift each other. And I just pray a total just washing of all-out compassion over whoever hears this radio broadcast, that you are so overwhelmed with compassion that no longer can you speak words that are defeating or destructive to anybody that comes into your path.
Praise
that you,
God.
That you choose not to be angry. You choose to be joyful, and you choose to speak out and minister to other people about why you are so joyful, no matter how bad people might treat you.
Woo! All right, Megan, we agree with that. Wow. Amen. Thank you, Megan. Betty, give us your final words here. We're getting on. Just got a few more minutes.
Oh, I tell you, time flies, doesn't it?
Yes, 2 hours.
Jesus' calling for today, just I'm going to read the last part of it, is it says, be careful that your devotion to me does not become another form of work. I want you to come into my presence joyfully and confidently. You have nothing to fear, for you wear my own righteousness.
Praise God.
Gaze into my eyes and you will see no condemnation, only love and delight in the one I see. Be blessed as my face shines radiantly upon you, giving you peace.
Woo! And that is our final word for today's show. Thank you, Betty and Megan from Indiana. And what a blessing you both are. And a vital part of our radio team. 2 weeks from today will be our 12th anniversary of Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we'll have a special service starting at 10:30 in our new location, 21933 US 19 North. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about that day, but also find out about where we're located and what we're about. What we're about is the Word of God, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what this show is about. That's what this ministry is all about. And we just encourage you to go to our website and listen to some of these radio shows from the past. There's a lot of them there. Use our prayer line, prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. God bless you. It's been great being with you today. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Betty, and Megan sharing the Word of God with you today. God bless you. It's not far to Jesus. Have a great week. See you next week on the air.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From here.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen